From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Today, he begins to deal with Paul's second epistle to Timothy. Along with 1 Timothy and Titus, 2 Timothy is one of the pastoral epistles, letters written to instruct ministers of the gospel how they were to care for the churches. As Dr. Cairns will show, Paul addressed this second epistle to the young preacher Timothy to emphasize how ministers of the gospel are to live and how they are to preach. The apostle was on the verge of death, and he recognized the need for a new generation of preachers to be raised up by God and to carry on the work of the gospel. In a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will introduce a message entitled The Changing of the Guard. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Possess, Not Only Profess. The text is Matthew chapter 13 and verse 12, For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. When the Lord has given to a man much grace, he will give him more. A little faith is a nest egg. More faith will come to it. But then it must not be seeming faith, but real and true. What a necessity is laid upon us to make sure work in religion, and not to profess much and possess nothing. For one of these days the very profession will be taken from us, if that be all we have. The threatening is as true as the promise. Blessed be the Lord. It is his way, when he has once made a beginning, to go on bestowing the graces of his Spirit, till he who had but little, and yet truly had that little, is made to have abundance. Oh, for that abundance! Abundance of grace is a thing to be coveted. It would be well to know much, but better to love much. It would be delightful to have abundance of skill to serve God, but better still, to have abundance of faith to trust in the Lord for skill and everything. Lord, since thou hast given me a sense of sin, deepen my hatred of evil. Since thou hast caused me to trust Jesus, raise my faith to full assurance. Since thou hast made me to love thee, cause me to be carried away with vehement affection for thee.
Thank you.
It was a number of years ago that Dr. Alan Cairns preached these messages, in which he explains the teaching of each of the New Testament books. These messages let you get a grasp of the heart of the New Testament's teaching and show you how relevant it is to your life in the modern world. This series was published in a book entitled A Sure Foundation, a book which tells you how to live in the light of the gospel, in the freedom of faith, and not in the gloom of guilt and frustration. This is not another how-to book of self-help tips. Its constant theme is the acceptance believers have with God because of the imputation of Christ's righteousness to them, which is the heart of the gospel. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, and we're happy to make them available to our listening audience. The price for each copy of A Sure Foundation is $10, which includes shipping. You may have a copy by sending your check for $10 made out to Let the Bible Speak to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, supplies of A Sure Foundation are very limited. Be sure to request your copy today.
Now, returning to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy, and we're going to read a few verses at the end of chapter 3 and into chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, to chapter 4, verse 8. Verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith that is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this familiar passage from his own precious word for his name's sake. As we continue to look at the messages of the epistles, we come to number 11, which is the second epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy. There's a very clear and marked progression of thought from 1 Timothy into 2 Timothy. A couple of weeks back, we looked at 1 Timothy, and there we found that there was a great emphasis upon the proper function of the church. Now in 2 Timothy, Paul moves on to give us the proper function of the minister in the church. And any study of these two epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy, must do, if it's going to do justice, must pay attention to that shift of emphasis from church to minister. You see, what the Lord says to the church and what the Lord says to the minister is very important to each and indeed to both. Ministers must not only see clearly what the church needs and what the church must do, but ministers also need equally clearly to grasp what they ought to be and what they ought to do. Similarly, churches need to understand their own responsibilities before God, and they should especially keep in mind that a good minister labors among them as the mouthpiece of God. He is not the cat's paw of the congregation. His function, while it is to be the servant of all, is not to be the puppet of any faction in the church, or indeed of all the factions put together, or even of the church, which, if it's spiritual enough, is without factions. Churches ought to remember that ministers are not given them to do what they want, but rather to stand among them, to sound forth continually and faithfully the word of the living God as he gives it, with his power and with his blessing. Now that's certainly how Paul saw the functions of ministers and of churches. I find it interesting and also very instructive that Paul's last letter before going to the executioner's block should deal so largely with the functions and with the office and with the duty of the Christian minister. If you study this epistle carefully, you'll find that Paul describes the minister of the gospel in various ways. In chapter 2, he calls him a soldier. He calls him a striver. He calls him a husbandman. Then he speaks of him in verse 15 as a student of the Word of God, who knows as a good workman how rightly to divide the word of truth. In verse 24, he speaks of him as a servant and as a teacher. In the passage we read this morning in chapter 4, he speaks of him as a preacher and then as a sufferer and as a soul winner. Now those are descriptions that are so full that each one of them would take a message in itself to study in detail. But in all these capacities, the minister of Jesus Christ is to be a man of the word. I think that needs to be emphasized more than ever. Needs to be emphasized in theological seminaries, which more and more nowadays have become theological cemeteries. We have people coming out dead of soul. We have people coming out who are novices in the Word of God, who know everything that seminary can teach them except how to go to God's Word and rightly divide it. We have preachers who know all the theories, but they are incapable of bringing a message from the heart of God to the heart of the people of God. The preacher must first and foremost be a man of the word. He must be a man of personal, vital godliness, who is not entangled with the affairs of this world. In the work of the ministry, if he doesn't know this when he starts out, he'll not be too long in the work before he gets to know it. He has to be a man of courage and a man of integrity, a man who will stand for God and God's truth, whatever the personal cost may be. He must be faithful to his Lord, whether men will hear him or whether men will forbear to hear him. When men have itching ears and when they crave to hear something different, something new, let me just back off there for a moment and say the church very often gets the preachers that it deserves. And all the queer preachers we have today, with all the quirky notions, with all their little theories, especially in the area of eschatology, to shock and to grasp the attention of the people, is but their reaction to the itching ears of the people, who always are desiring something new, something shocking, something surprising, something different. All the time in ignorance, of course, that the most surprising, the most shocking, the most amazing, as well as the most edifying thing in the world is the old gospel of the free grace of God in Jesus Christ. And churches are looking for something new when they have never begun even to explore the fundamentals of the gospel. A preacher who's going to be faithful to the Lord will stand by that old gospel of free grace in Jesus Christ, no matter what new thing the people may crave. Now, this was Paul's charge to Timothy. And it's Paul's charge to every preacher and to every aspiring preacher. It's by these standards that a man who professes to be a servant of God is going to be judged. When you read this little epistle, you'll find that you get a foretaste of the judgment seat of Christ. This is an amazing epistle in many ways. But when you think of how brief it is, four very short chapters, and in these chapters, you have over 24 people named by name. On many of those people, Paul passes judgment. He makes statements in the Spirit about many of these people. That led one great preacher to say of 2 Timothy that it was a veritable judgment seat. You see, Paul, in charging Timothy, is setting up the standards for the Christian ministry. And he's saying, these are the things that really count in God's service. What really counts is not what the world thinks popular or successful or great or important. The things that God counts important are the things that Paul is dealing with and that I have very quickly already mentioned at the beginning of this service. Certainly, Paul felt that very deeply for himself. You see, he was at the very point of death. Paul had always had a clear grasp of the meaning of the Christian ministry. He had always had a clear grasp of what really mattered. But I think that now that he was near to death, he could see it all even more clearly than ever before. He says in verse 7 of chapter 4, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He was now just waiting to be offered as a sacrifice, as a martyr, for the glory of his God. His race was finished. His warfare was accomplished. But the work had to go on. When Moses died, God had to raise up a Joshua. When Paul died, God had to raise up a Timothy. You see, the servant of God is only here for a while, and he must pass on. But the work of God must go on, and that's why this final letter of the apostle in this life, this last word that he wrote, is such an impassioned plea to Timothy, a young minister, to take up the torch of the gospel and its truth and to advance the gospel and cause of Jesus Christ in the world. I want you to keep that in mind as we look at 2 Timothy. I think of this epistle as the changing of the guard. Paul dying and Timothy being raised up in some measure to stand in his place. As we think of this changing of the guard, I want us to note four very simple things. First, the need for a faithful minister is great. The reason, first of all, is because the old guard is passing. If you go back to chapter 1, Paul says in verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day. Now he's speaking of his own death. Now what does he say immediately? Verse 3. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and in love which is in Christ Jesus. In chapter 4, as we read again, he says, watch thou in all things. Why? Verse 5, verse 6 says, because I am now ready to be offered. See how he joins the two things. He says, Timothy, I'm dying. My day is over. My generation of preachers is finished. Now it's time for you to step forward. It's time for you to take the stand. It's time for you to be in the front line. And it's time for you to take up the torch of the cause of Jesus Christ. The passing of the old guard is always an underlining and an emphasizing of the church's need for faithful ministers. It's always a critical time. this generational change in the ministry of a church.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.